Paul Coburn, keeping us fit and well. For Mill Park Physiotherapy, call 9436 9666 or visit millparkphysio.com.au.
I just want to wish you well. I just want to wish you well.
We do. We want to wish you well every Thursday because, we get sick, we get injured, sometimes we're just unhealthy, and this segment every week tries to just right that wrong, and Paul Coburn helps us do that every week from Mill Park Physio. Hello, Copes.
Righting the wrong. It's me. I sound like a Marvel superhero, don't I?
No, not quite. My boy's into Marvel superheroes at the moment. Yes. And you don't look like them.
No. No kidding.
It's on the inside. On the inside, you're much more impressive. Much more impressive.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're riding the wrongs. Hey, I'm just trying to get my head around the Twitter business.
Yeah, you're going well.
Starting to get the
You're
idea.
Getting involved.
I've got 3 followers, I think.
Have you?
Yeah.
What's your handle?
Well, I had their mum and dad to...
Your mum and dad are on Twitter?
No, I'm trying to get them on, so they'll follow me. I can increase my following by 40%.
If you get mum and dad on?
Yeah, I'll get 2 more. That'll give
me 66%.
Five. Yeah. No, I've got...
2 on 3, 66.
No, I'll go from 60 to 100. Yeah, it depends what your denominator is.
Well, no, your denominator is 3.
Doesn't have to be.
So if but you've only got 3.
No, yeah, okay, all right.
So if you add 2 more, that's 66%.
I'm not going to argue maths with you.
Well, you can't.
You've got no idea. what I was going to say, though, but I was following Twitter and Sports Medicine Australia. We're talking to a rep from Sports Medicine Australia today. They're our friends, non-profit organisation. They're peak body fit disease and injury prevention through physical activity.
Which we love.
We love them. But one of the things was, Half, that there's a bit of stuff at the moment on kids and concussion.
Yes.
So we might get someone on in a couple of weeks to talk about that.
I think we can. In fact, I might even have the right people for that.
Oh, really?
To come in and be a part of that discussion.
Yeah. It's a fairly important one. Actually, it would be good to talk to our guest today because we're going to, in a minute, talk to someone about managing injuries in the local sporting clubs.
Yep.
But that one, that's an issue with kids. You just got to keep an eye on them, and particularly some of the boys. Whether there's life in that planet, in that head at any time, is sometimes debatable. Well, some of those with the grunting.
Regardless of the knocks that they've
got. Yeah, it's hard to know. Is this a head injury, or you just really like this all the time?
Yes, now that is an area that is, there's plenty of effort gone into that, and researching and funding has gone into the concussion of junior athletes across the country, not just the elite level like we know and hear of a lot, Combs. There's a lot going into the junior athletes around the country, and I'm sure that our special guest this afternoon knows a fair bit more about that.
He does, and we're talking no less to a trainer of 30 years' experience.
Yes.
Mr. Paul Dillon.
Mr. Paul Dillon is on the line talking to us about all this stuff today. G'day, Paul.
G'day, gents. How are we?
We are very well, thank you, sir. It's nice to have you on board.
Thanks very much.
Now, Paul, the reason we've got you on board, we've had lots of conversations over the years with all sorts of people in sports medicine, and we've never got back to the grassroots of sports medicine management or the first aid, and that's a sports trainer. And it is the role that sports trainers play in the community. Maintaining, you can't have a doctor at every game, and sports trainers do a fantastic job of managing it. But I guess the reason we want to talk to you today, Paul, is that for a lot of people, they want to be involved in supporting their club as a trainer, etc. But the question is, how do you go about getting the knowledge if you haven't had it before? And that's why we thought we'd talk to you.
Okay. Look, obviously, my own club, where you've got 10s, 12s, 14s, 16s, and then you go into your senior grades of 18 reserves and seniors.
So what's your club?
Strathmore Football Club in the EDFL.
Yep.
So all of our trainers the senior level are all level 1 sports trainers. But our junior trainers mostly are just mums and dads that want to help out, which is obviously what you just said. So without, too many qualifications. So what we're encouraging is that they do a level 1 sports trainers course, which obviously costs money, but, that's probably the best way that they're going to get the knowledge that they need to look after all grades of footy.
Now, Paul, the sort of issues we're talking about here, it's because I've gone to the the if you go to the SMA.org website, you can look at the sort of things that you can come up against. But I was talking to you off the line the other day about the sort of things. You've been a trainer now for 30 years.
Yep.
And you've, including that, you've actually worked at an AFL club at one point in time. But the sort of, some of the sort of things that you've come across that it's in a local situation, you don't know what might happen on any particular day. For example, someone might have, I think one of the things we were talking about before was pre-season where people become dehydrated. What can happen in the local club? Tell us.
Look, I think, as I said the other day, the guys come off their, you know, they've maybe played in finals, won a grand final, come off their footy trip. They're going to do 4 or 5 weeks pre-season prior to Christmas. They haven't looked after themselves in that time. And, you know, the first couple of nights they turn up to training, they're not in the best shape physically, which once they've done quite a bit of running and footwork, they can end up quite ill, actually. So,
and they might have had a big night out the night before.
Yeah, they could have. They could have.
Yes, more than possible.
Because our players at our level, unless they've played AFL or VFL or at the elite level, they're mostly local tradies or local guys that just want to have a game of footy. So they don't look after themselves as well as our elite footballers.
And that sort of, that can create a whole different set of problems you wouldn't have to deal with in the elite situation. For example, you know, you can have simple overheating and dehydration, but that could actually, there are cases where people have had those terrible conditions like rhabdomyolysis, where you get that muscle breakdown or the muscle starting to dissolve because they overheat. So they're the sorts of things that you might actually come in contact with and think, God, what am I going to do in this situation? Yep. What other sort of things have you seen, you know, that in your career that that sort of took you, that was quite confronting at the time?
I think, as I mentioned the other day, the opposite to the heat illness is the cold illnesses like hypothermia. So when I was up in working up in the Riddle League, where the temperatures are a little bit different, you know, probably 4 or 5 degrees different than down here in the city. I've had players, or a particular player, come off at half time suffering from hypothermia, which sort of started to head down the track of maybe this guy's going into shock as well. So there's the opposite end of that heat scale is the cold illnesses as well. So you've got kids don't have a lot of meat on their bones, so fairly, you know, skinny little kids out there playing, you know, say temperatures like yesterday, they're, you know, short sleeve jumpers and shorts. So there's every chance that is what could happen to them as well.
And so how do you as a sports trainer, Paul? Sorry to jump in. How do you as a sports trainer deal with that situation and manage that situation?
Look, it's knowing what the symptoms are, I guess, or the signs are for starters, and then gradually you've got to gradually warm that athlete up rather than, you know, try and warm them up too quick. So it's a slow sort of process. So, you know, things like space blankets or getting more clothes on them and just gradually warming them up so that their temperature, you know, comes back up. And, you know, maybe some, not hot drinks, but warm drinks as well, because they could also be a bit dehydrated from that as well.
What other sorts of things? What about fractures or dislocations? You've come across many of those?
Had a couple in the last couple of years, and one in the game was up in the Riddle League, up at Wood End. Had a 17-year-old kid dislocated his ankle. And
So when you say dislocate, his foot wasn't pointing south?
His foot was at 90 degrees to where it should be. So basically pointing in towards the inside of his body at 90 degrees. It was pretty horrendous at the time. It didn't actually break the skin, but it was, it wouldn't have taken much more to do it, I don't think. That kid played again the next year, so played senior footy the following year. So he had about a 6 to 8 month recovery and came back, made a full recovery. So
But at the time, so you're staying there. Obviously, there's no medical support at that time. There's no ambulance on the line. What do you have to do in that situation?
It is a matter of trying to... Well, you can actually leave them where they are and hold the game up until you get an ambulance, because in a lot of cases, you don't want to move them. If you can move them onto a stretcher and into the room, so someone, you know, basically supporting that injured ankle, and then make them as comfortable as possible until the ambulance gets there. It's about... We can't give them painkillers because we're not allowed.
Yeah.
But, you know, the things that they're normally screaming out for, if they know the ambulance is coming, is hurry up because I want some of that green... a bit of that green stick.
Fair enough.
Take away the pain.
Now, Paul, we're setting the scene here, and hopefully we're not scaring people off, because we're giving you the problem. Now, after the break, we're going to give everybody the solution.
Yeah, I like that.
So this is... We're going to take people through about what you do on the course, because, Paul, you're not medically trained, are you? You've got a... You're confronted with these issues and you deal with them and have done so for 30 years.
Yep.
So we're going to talk in a moment about, when we come back after the break, about what they do in the sports medicine course for trainers.
Yep.
There's heaps of stuff. It's much more extensive than I recall. And we'll cover off all of these issues.
Right, we've given you the problems. Now we're going to give you the solution. That's what we do here on Halftime. Cobes, whose Twitter handle, by the way, is at Cobes Fit and Well, at Cobes Fit and Well, A-N-D, not the... Paul Coburn is with us, keeping you fit and well from Mill Park Physio. And on the line today, our special guest is Paul Dillon, a sports trainer of over 30 years, just to help out the people listening, Cobes, and to give them some insight into what's required in that field.
Now, Paul, you've just been successful at scaring everybody off doing Paul training. Now you've got to bring him back, mate. Now, look, in this course, we've spoken about some of the things you've come across. Mm-hmm. So one of them was hot and cold illnesses. And I looked down the level one sports course and on the SMA website.
SMA.org.au.
And I see that there's actually a topic on that.
Yes, there is. And that is, we cover both the hot and heat illnesses and cold illnesses as well. So we go into that in a fair bit of detail, actually.
Paul, I was looking at the website as well during the break just to find out what was involved in the course, the level one, which you referred to a couple of times beforehand. It's pretty extensive. Sports trainer in action, roles and responsibilities, principles of injury management, structure and function of the musculoskeletal system, warm-up, cool-down and stretching, drugs in sport, common sporting illnesses and injuries, nutrition, heat and cold illness, which we talk about there, common medical conditions affecting athletes, moving an injured athlete, sports taping.
Yep.
Pretty extensive coverage. How long does it take?
The course is... usually 2 days, so it could be 16 hours, so it can be either two Sundays or a Saturday, Sunday together. It just depends where in the season Sports Medicine Australia actually run them.
Yep.
They tend to run Sunday during the season per se, and then in the off-season, they might do Saturday, Sundays, especially in some of the country areas. They try and put it all together in one weekend rather than getting people to travel for, you know, like 2 weekends in a row, so to speak.
What about things like dealing with coaches, et cetera? Because that's one of your biggest issues when you're in the medical team.
Yeah, look, again, the relationship that you have with your coach and other members of the club's administration is something that we cover in the first couple of hours of the course. So it's good to be able to be on have a good relationship with your coach, because at the end of the day, or out there on game day, you're the one making the decision whether the player should play on or whether the player should come off or whether they should go to hospital or whatever. So you've got to be able to have some good communication skills with your coach to let them know exactly what's going on.
Paul, there's a couple of SMSs coming through as we've been talking about this, saying that our sports club needs trainers, we're short trainers. If anyone can help, that'd be fantastic. Have you found that there's a reluctance for some people to get involved with the way the world is these days, with modern legal opportunities for people to take action if something goes against their kid? Is that an issue, do you think, for people to get involved?
I would hope that doesn't scare people off. I don't know that any sports trainer that's actually been sued for for doing what they do. But part of what we teach our trainers is acting within the roles and responsibilities whatever they've been taught on the course. That's the level that they go to. They can't. They're not doctors. We're not nurses. We're not physios or whatever. Mm. We teach them to a specific level. Anything beyond that, well, you refer that to professionals like your physios or your osteos, or refer them on to doctors and hospitals.
But that's the sort of thing, if you do a course like this, you actually know what your limitations are. You think, well, you know, I actually don't have to cure cancer. It's not my responsibility. Yep. Well, I don't have to, you know, but you know what I should be doing, what the basics are. I mean, even some of the things like how to move an injured athlete, how to get in contact, how to have an emergency procedure. Yep. These are sorts of things that a person with common sense who can actually stand the sight of blood, they're all sorts of things that the average person could do. So with these clubs saying, oh, is anyone out there who's interested? It's pretty much a club community. There's already families involved with it, and people are a bit scared about it. Mm-hmm. If you want to get involved with your club, rather than try and get people from outside, you should actually be looking within.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you might find that there's part of the requirement of a level one sports trainers course is you must have a current first aid certificate. So you might have people that have already got those first aid skills through something to do at work or yep. other things that they're involved in, which gives them some basics, but the sports trainers course is more directed at anything that can happen on a sports day, on a sports field, regardless of the sport. You know, it doesn't have to be just footy, but regardless of the sport. So those skills are relevant to pretty well all sports that people, you know, are involved in, say, like netball, hockey, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Look, it's a great thing to get involved with. As I tweeted today, if you rather than just watch the game, it's far more enjoyable to be involved. And this week, I'm the trainer at the local footy team again for the girls under 15 team,
Good
Q Comets.
You. Good yep. for you. How'd we go last week?
Well, we did really well.
Did us?
They can actually play.
Good on us.
Tell you what, they can... It's amazing.
Good on us.
I never thought I'd be saying this, but girls' footy is great to watch. They actually look for each other.
It's booming. It is absolutely booming, women's footy, girls' footy. It's fantastic. Hey, Paul, I really appreciate you jumping on having a chat today about the training situation and how people can get involved and what's involved should they want to do that. And I would like to echo the sentiments of Cope saying that look within your clubs and really try and get people that are around there, particularly with kids involved, to be more intimately involved. And they parents and grandparents and uncles and brothers and sisters get a hell of a kick out of being a part of it and when they're actually involved from weekend to weekend. So good on you, mate. Well done with your 30 years plus. Look forward to another 20 or 30 more years from you.
Good on you, mate. Thanks very much.
Paul Dillon, sports trainer with the Strathmore Footy Club these days. Over 30 years in the game now. Strathmore, very fine footy club in the NFL.
He's only got to do another 20 before he's actually a genuinely experienced trainer.
Is there a gold watch type situation for a 50-year sports trainer?
Trainers out there. Hey, now, next week, we are talking, all you guys with your tendon injuries from running, tune in because we're talking to world-renowned researcher, Dr. Jill Cook, and she's going to tell you how to fix them up.
Fix them up?
Fix them up.
All the tendon issues.
Drives us crazy. So she's the one that's going to lead you into the promised land of happy running.
Gee, I like this already. What about your Twitter handle, at Cobes Fit and Well? Has gone berserk, and when I checked in about 15 minutes ago, it was 75 followers, Woo-hoo. Not three. You're lying.
I was trying to get it.
Although, I believe...
I'm trying to do anything to get people to follow me.
I checked your followers list of recent times when I pressed it, and a lot of my listeners were following you, so they jumped on board big time. And now it's 88.
Oh,
so
thank you.
So there's been a big jump. At Cobes Fit and Well on Twitter. Follow him. Get around him. Give him some love.
Hey, but I'm going to give you plenty, though. If you follow me, I'm going to give you stuff. On sports medicine.
Not
so,
stuff all, just stuff.
Well, I don't know. One of those two. One of the two. You're going to get it from me.
One of the two. Sounds like a hell of an idea. At Cobes Fit and Well. And, of course, he's with us every Thursday from 1 o'clock. Great to see you, mate.
Thanks, Harp.
Good luck with the Cucumber Girls this week.